The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
I didn't put us in the top 25. I hope that we are at the end of the year, but any progress that we made is just progress. Nothing's going to happen until we go out and earn it.
Kranak's got his sleeves rolled up. So does Will Bauer. Chris Schmidt, we are going to earn it this Saturday. It's Hail Varsity Weekend Edition presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Hope you're doing all right. Practice number two.
How about that, man?
Man, are you ready? 28 days. I love seeing these signs and scenes in GIF form or still pics on Twitter from different Nebraska fans or even the university themselves with, you got a player number the other day that had, 30 days, and it had Rozier's run against UCLA at 83. We went sideline to sideline.
We're 27 now. Where's some Abdul Muhammad?
Or Irving Fryer.
Oh, yeah, there's him, too. Whereas, who else is number 27? Let's think of another 27. Willie Amos, I believe, was a 27.
Okay, the jump rope champion of the world, and he's still giving free piggyback rides.
That's right.
Getting free piggyback rides from Colorado tight end Daniel Graham.
Well, hey, that guy lasted in the league for a while. Jump rope champ versus an all-pro, I mean,
of course,
come on.
29, we had the steal pick of the infamous Missouri shot heard around the world from Kellen Houston.
Oh, God. That's right. Go ahead, Kellen. I wonder
after
how he's
03,
doing.
You know what? Best hit of the game.
Sometimes you got to crack a tiger.
Something That's, like that.
Sometimes you just got to crack.
You know, it's we'll have thoughts from Scott Frost and maybe some Lamar Jackson as well throughout this show. But you can join us 466-3776, 466-3776. 761-800-825-5865. Numbers to get in. Can email Chris at HaleVarsity.com, Mark at HaleVarsity.com, and give us a follow on Twitter. Chris Schmidt at Schmidt_radio, Mark Kranak at Mark Skurs, Willie_Bauer. I told you Will Bauer didn't leave last night. I did not know that Will still does the old teddy bear thing. He has a little cot in the corner. He just slept over last night.
What?
He rocked it. I got back from vacation, and he was here, ready to go.
It's very comfy.
He just literally slept here.
Well, there was, a ticked off German Shepherd named Gertie that was not letting him leave.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
But he was here. Heard a hilarious story. As our, I know him a little bit. You know him very well. Matt Schick was filling in for Marty Smith this morning, and it was funny. Schick was talking about his time in Central Nebraska, and we're blessed to be on ESPN 1460, 1550 in Kearney, Hastings, Grand Island during the week. And that's where Schick got going once he got out of Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And, what he did in Omaha, and he's been with ESPN National for a while, tremendous talent. And he's sitting in for Marty Smith. We'll have Marty Smith on Thursday as he's promoting his book.
Nice.
And what was cool is Schick was recounting the time that he was watching this phenom from Nebraska just take it to all the other Class A schools. That phenom was Danny Woodhead.
Ah.
And he's like, I knew Coach Barnett, and I sent him a text, hey, look out for this kid, in Central Nebraska. Maybe someone you should think about because that's, the eyes you see and the wows that are caused on Friday night by a Danny Woodhead, that didn't happen too often. And the response from Barney was the same as, with Solich. Just, we think he's really talented. We just don't have room.
Uh-huh.
And the rest of the college football world still kicking themselves. You aren't going to have, I don't believe you'll have that problem with a Scott Frost. And you look at kind of the theme of the press conference on Thursday, and it centered around a lot of things, right? Just how he feels about his team, kind of where they're at after year two. Another year with Zach Duvall is going to be key. But the toughness part.
Yeah. I mean, he called him out. He called him out in a good way. He knows what he's doing coaching-wise with what he's saying
he's
in press conferences.
It's not demeaning. Yeah. It's no. Show me. And it, you know, you have
it's a challenge.
This earn it mentality, this yep. day-by-day theme.
And what did you hear from the players? The exact same thing.
There's not any stink eye going on.
No, man.
It is, hey, we want to be, you know, paraphrasing players' responses, we want to be a top 25 team. We want to be a team that puts rings on our fingers.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to go do it, man. And that's not that the Big 12 wasn't rough and tumble.
Yeah.
It was. It's football. It's Division I football, brother.
Yeah.
It's a whole different world that I don't know that I appreciated every 11 a.m. kickoff after game day watching Big Ten football, where you kind of roll your eyes at a 24-17 slugfest in gray conditions.
Yeah, it seems like all of them are like that.
Right? And
like if you were to pick the typical Big Ten score, you would land on 23-17, 24-17.
And someone drilled a field goal at the buzzer.
Yeah, yeah.
and that toughness transition,
mm-hmm.
man, it takes the right type of depth. It takes the right type of strength and conditioning. And it takes a certain type of offense that can hand out punishment. But ultimately, it takes a defense that can just get after the quarterback and stop the run. So, you know, there's a ton of storylines for Nebraska as they go into 2019. But you have a certain attitude from the players, and you have an expectation that there's going to be that mesh point of attitude and expectations, and it'll be centered around toughness.
And a really good sign that the players are almost verbatim echoing what you're hearing from Frost. All right, and they're not sitting in a room saying, okay, guys, here are our talking points. This isn't a Democratic campaign. Right?
Well played this week.
Well, and this is not going to be a referendum on Mike Riley. That's over. That's done with. I get it. But there were so many signs during his tenure where you could tell just by their communication that there was a lack of cohesiveness. Some coaches were saying this. Some coaches were saying that. Some players were saying this. It wasn't the same message that you were hearing from those guys. It was a lot of independent actors, right? Maybe all trying their best, but they were not on the same page. And no. It is not you like when Mark Banker's talking about
bloodbaths.
Yeah, and
practices during the week.
Oh God, there were other examples of that too. And then you know DB saying different things. And then you go back to Bill Callahan and Joe Daly with the Billy C comments and. Even in the Bo Pelini era, I can't think of the exact examples, but there were examples of it then, too, of guys just not, well, I don't know, you have to ask a coach about that, or you have to ask this. There's no confusion. That's gone. All you are hearing now is the coach laying out the agenda, laying out what he thinks, and then the players completely parroting that.
Well, how about like-mindedness?
Yeah, I mean, right. Completely parroting that. Almost all of the individual interviews from this last press conference kind of soiree,
mm-hmm.
the introductory press conference around Fan Day, all of them were like, we haven't earned anything. I don't know where that's coming from. You know, when people are talking about, you know, how Nebraska's been picked first in the division, the players almost to a man were just like, we haven't earned anything. That's terrible. Like, and that's exactly what Coach said. What does that matter? Does that mean that they're going to go undefeated? No. But is it a good sign? Hell yes.
Mm-hmm. The other part of that, too, is that is the biggest evil in a locker room and
an organization, period.
It is thinking you've done something when you haven't. Mm-hmm. The complacency side of things, right? Where you can feel good and you can feel confident, but you got to truly bring it every day or every week.
Dude, all right. Would you use the word humility to describe Lamar Jackson, for instance?
No. I would change it, and I would throw this in. I would say humbled.
Okay, but before that, like when you were just thinking of the adjectives to describe Lamar Jackson, humility doesn't necessarily come to mind, and that's okay.
I don't think he was,
but
I don't think he was. He wasn't going out there like Deion Sanders used to.
Nah.
Okay. When I think of how boisterous and demonstrative a guy can be on the sideline or on the field for that matter, but it goes back to earning it, right?
Yeah.
Lamar was a guy that is a super talent that the college football world wanted, but he was also a raw player that was a guy that thought he was going to be the next Lamar Jackson at quarterback because that's what he was in high school.
Yeah, sure.
And he was an incredible free safety.
Yeah.
And when he's playing and rolling fools that played against him in Elk Grove, jumps off the tape and you want him. The Pac-12 wanted him and Nebraska got him. But there was a guy in Lamar Jackson. When you look at Lamar's situation versus, I don't know, let's talk Ralph Brown, another corner that started as a true freshman.
Hacienda Heights?
And you just kind of look and go, okay, from a who did you beat out to get that spot? We're talking apples and oranges of
kind of culture did you join?
Depth and talent and team culture.
Right,
and Lamar, through no fault of his own, being a high-profile guy because it is the age of – this is before the transfer portal, but you still have high-profile recruits that leave every day if they don't get a spot. They threw him in because, yeah, he may have been more talented athletically than who they had. Didn't do him any favors.
He wasn't ready.
He'd probably tell you that. And it's taken till Purdue. To get your mind right. It's taken a guy like Coach Fisher. To get him mind right and work on the technique and invest in the weight training and be strong and physical enough to put your nose in there and make a tackle. I don't know how many times you threw up, but as a Nebraska fan, when you're playing Iowa or Wisconsin before last year or even parts of last year, you know who that was going to get run at.
Oh, yeah.
And it didn't matter the down and distance.
Yeah.
You knew who, when it was a running attack in a pro style downhill format, you're going at the corner, and you're going to go at corners, right?
Yeah.
But they went at him a lot, and now you believe that you have six games to see. Okay, this is the Lamar you recruited. He's gotten coached up, and he's also been on the same page with what his coach's wishes are, and it's time to get physical and get your nose dirty. He's doing that now, but the previous 3.5 seasons, that wasn't him.
Well, and I bring him up because in the press conference that he had a one-on-one session up there, he would not have given this answer a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Just wouldn't have happened. But it was brought to his attention that he and DiCaprio Boodle, and I didn't know this either, by the way, played more snaps than anybody in the Big Ten last year.
Well, we have that in a minute.
Yeah. Oh, you do? You had the soundbite. So just to kind of preview it a little bit, Boodle and Jackson, more snaps than anybody. That gets brought to his attention, and he didn't respond in any kind of way about, well, that's awesome that I played that much. Because it was asking how important is it for – because you played so many snaps, how important is it to get the young guys ready so that you can get a spell? But he didn't take that question. He took it a totally different direction. We have the clip.
Yep.
Let's listen to how he responded.
Yeah, we definitely do. Just seeing like all the outside, like, accolades, just the completion percentages, Cap led the country in PBUs, whatever it may be. But at the end of the day, he got zero picks. I mean, we just pretty much just know, like, at the end of the day, we did some stuff, but I'm not satisfied or really, what I'm saying? I really don't really care for it because I really feel like I ain't really done nothing or showed nothing that I'm really capable of. I feel like mentally, I mean, I'm the most complete I've been in a while. I'm the most confident I've been in a while in myself and my abilities, And I feel like I had to figure it out. So now at this point, I got to take all this stuff out of my head and just put it on the field and just display that for everybody in the world just to set myself up for a great future as well as DeCap. He know the same thing. And, I mean, we going to both ball, including them safety. So at the end of the year, if everybody do what they say they're going to do and do what they need to do, I mean, the numbers and stuff like that going to speak for itself. We are the best because we can be. So we hope you do that.
Yeah, DeCap being DiCaprio Boodle. He brings up so he's told that – it was actually a different sound, but I was thinking about, but it was the same approach. If he responds with, well, 800 snaps, he's like, I didn't even know I played the most snaps in the Big Ten. And actually, that just kind of makes me mad because that's too many snaps and not enough production.
I thought that was on there, my fault. That was
right.
The first part of that.
You're right. But does he answer like that even last year?
No. It wasn't.
Does he answer
cool.
like that as a sophomore? No.
No, it's, oh, cool. I played the most snaps. No, I didn't do enough with my opportunity.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, he's kind of been he's been broken in some ways, and they're building him up, right? Like not in a bad, but just like his mentality is entirely different. entirely different. Now, does that mean when he meets Jonathan Taylor on the edge, he's sticking his shoulder in there?
Yes.
We'll see. Right? We'll see.
He knows he's going to get yanked if that doesn't happen.
That's a good point. And you brought up Ralph Brown. It's so funny. Probably my all-time favorite defensive back tackle is 1997.
Yes. See? Jamal Lewis.
Isn't that funny? 1997.
Ralph made a hell of a lot of plays starting every game as a freshman through senior year.
Yeah.
But you're watching Big Ten Network this week, and Nebraska-Tennessee's on.
Favorite all-time defensive back.
And what happens to swing the momentum of the game early while Tennessee's driving in Nebraska territory? It's still 0-0. He doesn't like me saying, little Ralph. Ralph's not little. He's still jacked. He can still play. He's been training first-round guys before they go off to NFL camp. We talked to Ralph a lot.
Yeah.
Ralph is the dude who smokes 215-pound Jamal Lewis of Tennessee.
Yeah, Jamal was a brick bleep house.
And phenomenal back, almost came to Nebraska. Didn't have a paper bag full of anywho.
Yeah.
So Ralph smokes Jamal in the open field. Bad Mother Rucker falls on the fumble. Yeah. Nebraska goes and scores.
It changed the whole game.
It did.
It changed the entire game. Because at that point, it was sort of a stalemate.
Sure. I mean, Nebraska needed to start throwing to get Amon going. And
think about who you had there for Tennessee. On that team, you're talking Peerless Price. You're talking Peyton Manning. You're talking Jamal Lewis. And Jamal Lewis, if you hadn't watched him play, he's a Saquon type, but more compact and more powerful.
Jamal Lewis is his own dude.
Yeah,
he's
like Mike Tyson in a football uniform.
Yes, perfect. Yeah, I mean, perfect body size.
Yeah.
Ran for 2,000 yards. Obviously, he's off the field. Thing's not cool, but on field, yeah, he was insanely good. Speed and power.
Ralph meets him in the hole and just drills him at the midsection.
Throws his body at him.
Exactly.
A body tackle.
Right in the midsection. Just completely stops Lewis's momentum, flips him, he drops the ball, game changer. Mm-hmm. And then I'm bringing that up because you compare that to, say, Lamar,
who's
a couple years ago.
6'2", 6'3".
Lamar's bailing on that opportunity a couple years ago. Now, I don't think he's bailing on that opportunity. Again, we'll see. Prove it. That's the whole kind of theme. Prove it. Earn it. 2 years ago, Lamar is like, nope.
But you feel
do
good.
Do what you want to do,
you
Jamal.
You feel good from what you saw from him as just one example on this team after Purdue, right? And I implore you to go back and get a Hail Varsity yearbook and read the oral history of post-Purdue, that Derek Peterson wrote with the help of Luke Gifford and Foster and Stoltenberg.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So the other side to that about, when it's push comes to shove and it's, let's just play this game of chicken, who's going to go make the tackle? Mm-hmm. You've got about 38 defensive linemen that are
now. That changed a lot with Jakeem Green this week.
The 39, excuse me.
Yeah.
That are bigger and stronger. That maybe will not allow a JT to get outside and put Lamar in that situation.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Because that's the third level we're talking about trying and having to make a play because he's past your linebackers and your defensive line.
There is always optimism at this time.
You know what, man? Last year it was frost fever, and you're excited because you know it's going to go a different direction. You just feel it and believe it if you're a Nebraska fan because of Scott Frost and the Osborne and being from the culture of how they built it each year and how they developed it. And there's the talent and the emphasis and the priority on strength and being the baddest ass there is.
Right.
Well, and you've been through so many coaching changes as a Nebraska fan that you kind of got numb to – all right, it's going to be different and better this year. Yay, right? Because you've had all these changes. Solich, Callahan, Bo, Grandpa, and then... You know what? Sweet guy, very friendly.
Grandpa.
Just absentee landlord, right?
Oh, Grandpa.
So, but you just know because one of your own's back.
Yeah.
Who knows how to get it done.
Yeah, and
that's a mm-hmm. difference where there's some substance, even though it's like blind faith that things will get turned around.
Yeah, but it's not. I don't. It's not even entirely blind faith because he's proven it.
Sure,
he's proven elite offenses everywhere he's been. I mean, his mom was a damn coach. All right, if there was ever somebody that was built to be a coach, like he is in his
element. You still got to You still got to do it, but it's still a change, and you've got.
But think about
backloads of inheritance when it comes to what culture stacked on top of culture on stacked on top of culture are you inheriting. Back to the Central Florida point, back to Nebraska Tough, mm-hmm. this meeting with Osborne, when Osborne came down in front of year two at Central Florida to speak to his team, kind of flipped the outlook and made a difference. And this was Coach Frost from... the media session this week on that emphasis on going live because it's a rare thing in college football.
I guess I can tell you guys a story. We had Coach Osborne come down and speak to our team in Orlando right before year two during camp. There's a million things that were valuable that he said, but one of the things that made an impression on us as a staff was him reminding us that on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, even during the season, we had live periods, ones-on-ones. And we adopted that year. You always run a risk as a head coach when you make that decision because you can get somebody tweaked or hurt in practice. But the benefit that we thought we gained from that, just staying sharp, kind of refining our toughness and grit, I think was more valuable than any potential risk of getting someone injured. That's a tough decision to make as a head coach, but I think it paid off that year. I think we're deep enough or getting close to deep enough this year that we're going to be able to do some of the same things. So,
That is music to every 90s era player.
Mm-hmm.
That is music to their ears that's still orbiting about. They have talked about that a ton. Back then, practices were open. You could watch them a little bit more. You and I used to do that while we were matriculating at the mm-hmm. university with our microphone and our mini disc recorders ready to talk to Coach Solich.
The old mini disc.
And I would tell you that, so you hear about, going ones versus ones. What is that going to do for you?
That's Vandenbosch trying to rip Crouch's head off.
I cannot stress enough how violent and physical those practices were. There were multiple times where you're sitting there and you're just like, it's like damn near blood curdling and uncomfortable to watch. You're just like, dude,
they are beating the hell out of each other.
I mean, something fierce. Not just they're not patty caking it at all. I mean, it is like full on just smacking the hell out of each other. Dudes getting depleted. People yelling at each other. I mean, the competitive like fire that you were seeing in that sort of arena on a Tuesday or a Wednesday of a game week. You always hear, our practices are tougher than our games, and it sounds cliche, but they're not BSing.
It sounds like arrogant, but it's true.
Dude, it's like when you actually saw it in I'm so glad you brought up Vandenbosch. So you go one, and the reason why Vandenbosch is Vandenbosch, why you've even heard of him, is because he's that 100-mile-an-hour every snap kind of a guy. So on a random Tuesday when it's 83 degrees and you got a tight end or a tackle on him, that dude is like, he's got smoke coming out of his head. He mm-hmm. is pissed.
The mad German.
And he finally gets turned loose to be able to light somebody up. He is going to take advantage. And so then that makes the tackle and the tight end be like, I better get ready because this dude's ready. And then all the ball carriers are sort of, their attention is way up, and they're like, I better get away from that dude.
It's a domino effect.
It creates this entire. So you can't stress enough the fact that because it is a risk. All the talk you hear, NFL does it now. There's not a lot of contact during the week, right?
And it's impossible to be professional balls, professional balls. So you're supposed to turn the light switch on and go crush people on Sundays. I get it. That's the paycheck. You're part of a 53-man roster. You're gone if you don't do it. But you could be gone if you're a first rounder and you don't do it. In college, though, man, you're not professional. You're still an 18 to 22 year old that needs supervision.
Yeah.
And how are you setting up your practices? Are you setting yourself up for success Monday through Thursday for Saturday?
Yeah.
And the trend has been to do more pro-style practices where you have your ones versus your scout team.
But those are guys that already have the right mentality.
Well,
you know what I mean? So it works in the NFL
in the NFL, but I'm saying in college, I mean,
you have to develop that mentality.
Yes. And then hone it physically.
Yeah.
And Saban, I mean, you know, you have the black shirts that you wear in practice for Nebraska. You want to earn that black shirt practice jersey. Yeah. Saban's got the same thing. Like, it was a badge of honor if you had a black jersey and you're an offensive player, that means you were live.
Think about...
Guess where Saban got that idea from.
Right. Yeah. Because things escalate in a hurry on the field, right? Like, things get very real in a hurry. And if all you've been doing all week are the motions and the drills...
Seven and seven?
Yeah, and the tagging off. Then when you get in an actual game... And here comes Jonathan Taylor and 330-pound Brunschweiger, whatever, Swede from Wisconsin, pulling around. You know, and there's five of those dudes.
You may have seen a 305 pull at you in practice, but he didn't hit you.
It's a totally different. And so you, in some ways, almost can't even blame. They're falling back on their practice habits. I remember even a couple years ago with Stoltenberg. Remember that? I think we talked about it. Stoltenberg, big old ox, right? Dude's huge, strong. You know he's tough, not worried about that at all. He meets Jonathan Taylor in the backfield. I want to say it was 2017.
Mm-hmm. Big game, tight game.
I want to say it was Jonathan Taylor. It could have been another back.
Melvin Gordon had exhausted his mileage.
Might have been Ohio
mileage.
State even. I can't remember exactly which game it was, but Stoltenberg gets into the backfield. Like he won his matchup and meets the running back. And he just sort of like hugged him. Right? It's not because, and Mick's way bigger than the back. It's not like he's scared of the guy, but Mick did not like wrap him, drive him, and just take that dude to the ground. And it was so clear as you watched it, it looked exactly like
practice,
a tag off practice, right? Where you get through, hug him, whistle blows, tag off, don't take the running back to the ground. The back got away. I think it was Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Back gets away, gains like 12, 15 yards, and you're just like, oh my God. Like, you almost can't even blame Mick because he doesn't get to tackle people in practice.
Don't want to get anyone hurt.
Right. He's probably done that sort of rep 9,000 times.
Right? And to be honest, he probably got more out of what he was doing in high school when it comes to physical practices than what he got out of Nebraska during the pro-style mentality practice era.
It was such a bad sign, and it stuck out like a sore thumb because, you know, a 305-pound guy built like Mick can absolutely make that tackle, mm-hmm. and he's willing to make that tackle. But when the lights were on and there was a half second to make a decision, just like his training didn't take him there.
No.
It didn't let him complete the play. It was crazy.
Lots more as we get you ready for Nebraska football 2019 and fall camp underway. We have rambled quite a while. We're behind.
Well, so, that's what you do on a radio
show. No, I love it. I love it. And you're going to love it. We haven't even set the table up for you. Shortly, we will hear from our dear friend, Jack Stoll, the tight end for Nebraska. We get into the offseason, this fall camp, and his lovely mullet. So that is coming up shortly this hour, part of the Rewind. And next hour, Brandon Vogel. We're hoping to run down Gary Sharp. As Sharpie's on a little vacay, we'll see if we can connect with him. A reminder, if you're out and about, please buckle that safety belt. Something's got to stop that motion. Airbags aren't enough. Do you want the seatbelt or the windshield? Seatbelt prevents excessive injury. When your body and a vehicle need to slow down in a hurry, that applies to whether you're in the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now, click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety. It's a chat, the mullet declined comment, but a standout tight end on the way. Jack Stoll joins us with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
With Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranach.
Jack Stoll's with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Jack, camp gets kicked off tomorrow. How jacked are you?
you know, we're all excited. You know, it's that one time year where all you got to worry about is football. That's it. You know, you're here in the morning till night, and you know, you got no school, so you know, it's really just a great time of the year.
How about juggling school and summer workouts? How was that?
You know, that was great. You know, it's one of those deals where, you know, obviously just having being enrolled in one class, you have a lot more flexible of a schedule, a lot more time to, you know, get all the tight ends together, specifically get the offense, get the whole team together, kind of get some workouts going. And you know, that's exactly what we did. You know, a lot more time in the film room, a lot more time, you know, dedicated to our craft, I should say. And you know, it's just one of those deals. It was really exciting to see the progress we made this summer.
Tell me about the tight end room. I mean, you've performed well here. You've also got other tight ends, and within this offense, how exciting can it be? How difficult can it be for a defense to try and check you guys?
Absolutely. You know, I always say, you know, as the tight ends, I think we're the most versatile position on the field, whether that's running routes, being asked, you know, stay in, you know, run block, or, you know, really catch a screen. You know, we're asked to do it all. So, you know, someone on the defense has to be just as versatile. And, you know, we pride ourselves in, you know, being just as good, if not better, as, you know, every tight end group in the nation. You know, personally, I do think we have the potential to be the best tight end group in the nation. So, you know, it's just really exciting, you know, to see, you know, all the progress we've made, you know, in every facet. You know, everyone, you know, has their strengths, but it's also really awesome to see everyone, you know, get stronger in some of their weaknesses and become really, really great, just an all-around tight end.
When it comes to the offense and the scheme and having a quarterback like Adrian, how difficult is it? I mean, do you see the mismatches? Yes, you'll see it on a whiteboard or you'll see it in film, but do you notice that stressing? Did you notice it stressing defenses towards the end of last year?
Absolutely. You know, Adrian's an unbelievable ball player. He's one of those kids, you know, if he doesn't see something, you know, if someone doesn't run the right route, he can always scramble and end up getting the first down himself. And, you know, he'll end up talking to the dude, you know, kind of telling him, hey, you got to clean it up. And, you know, he's just one of those guys. He's just a gamer. And, you know, that's really tough for defenses to defend, you know, because he's got an unbelievable arm. He's got legs where, you know, he can make plays when he needs to. And, you know, it's just one of those deals. I mean, I'm sure if I was a defensive coordinator, I'd stay up at night trying to think of how we're going to stop him. So, you know, it's unbelievable to have a guy like that on our team. And, you know, especially someone who's as good of a kid as Adrian is. And, you know, it's just really exciting to know, you know, the rest of my career, I'm going to have him.
Jack, still a couple more minutes with us, Hale Varsity Radio. You've got that connection. What's the process like to earn his trust? It's one thing to be open. It's another thing to get the ball on third and eight.
Absolutely. You know, I think most of it is just, you know, being willing to, you know, do everything in the offseason, you know, whether that's make it to routes, you know, just get used to catching the ball with him, you know, just kind of developing that chemistry, doing stuff like that. And so, you know, I really think that's something that, you know, everyone in the tight end room has prided themselves in, you know, making sure we're getting some extra work. And, you know, anytime you're getting extra work, you know, people are going to see that. And, you know, it'll definitely show when this fall camp rolls around, because, you know, I think the tight end room is someone, you know, we're gonna be making a lot of noise this year.
Is there a point in your career where you kind of turned the corner confidence-wise, knowing you can play at this level, knowing you can play in this league, or did you always kind of have it?
You know, I definitely think it's one of those, I always believed, you know, I definitely did have it, but, you know, I don't think it really ended up showing until, you know, honestly, the last year when Riley was there. You know, obviously, unfortunately, we were ended up losing a lot of games by a lot, but I mean, that meant I could go in and, you know, get some reps. And, you know, it was kind of during that time, I could, you know, I think I kind of solidified in my head, hey, you know what, I can play at this level. And then, you know, I kind of rolled on that confidence and kind of kept that going through the next year. And then, you know, just kind of steamrolled from there. And then it kind of gets to the point where, you know, you 100% know you can play at this level. And I think that's a great feeling. And it's just one of those things where, you know, it helps you confidence wise. And, you know, I wouldn't say it ever really 100% came to me. I think it's something, you know, you definitely have to work for, where it's, you know, every rep you take in the weight room, every extra rep you take on the field, you gain that confidence that solidified.
What's your role on this team? Obviously, we know what you've done as a blocker and a receiver, but from a personality standpoint, what do you want to give to your teammates?
You know, it's definitely one of those deals where, you know, whatever the coaches are asking of me, and, you know, right now it looks like, you know, being a little bit more of a leader is definitely something. That's something, you know, I've definitely tried to do this summer, and, you know, hopefully, you know, I'm not going to sit here saying I've succeeded. Hopefully that's what other players are thinking. But, you know, especially just going out there and, you know, because leading by example really just isn't enough. enough. You know, that's what everyone should do. I wouldn't even classify that as being a leader. That's just what you're doing the right thing. And so, you know, if that's just being more vocal, you know, spending more time with some guys, you know, trying to get them to help them to know the offense, stuff like that. So, you know, I've definitely tried to step up and do that. You know, hopefully that's what the players are seeing.
Was that difficult for you? It's one thing to want to say something to a guy. It's another thing to say something to somebody. And then there's the how you say something to somebody.
Absolutely.
Where have you gone in that journey as far as the vocal leadership and being comfortable not ticking somebody off?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that's part of it is you just got to be okay with ticking someone off every now and then. Not everyone's going to be taking, you know, someone saying, hey, you got to do this better. You can't be doing that. They're not going to take it well. So, you know, I think that's something that, you know, it was just a little bit of an adjustment, you know, especially going from, you know, from Coach Riley's staff to Coach Frost's staff. I went from the youngest tight end to the oldest just like that within a matter of a couple weeks. So it's one of those deals where, you know, I was just thrown into that role real quick. And, you know, you just kind of got to learn by being tossed into the fire. And like I said, you just can't really worry about, you know, someone getting upset by that. Because at the end of the day, you know, you're making the team better. You're making that player specifically better. And, you know, if they don't like me for a few days, oh, well.
They'll get over it. Last thought, and I know it's been talked about, but the mullet. We got to go there.
Oh, yeah.
The inspiration behind it. Where did it start?
You know, it was just me and Reed Carroll sitting in a marketing class. And, you know, we kind of got to talking about mullets. And next thing you know, we both started growing one. And I don't think the back of the hair has seen a clipper since February 2018. So, you know, it's been a year and a half now.
Do you get your mullet a birthday gift?
Man, I'm telling you, that's where we draw the line right there. We're not giving any gifts to it.
You know the date, so.
Hey, I can tell you the month about, yeah, February 18. There's no birthday gifts necessary for that one.
You got lines. Is this, did you ever watch the ESPN 30 for 30 on the Bosworth?
I did. I have seen the Bos. Oh, yeah. You know, it wasn't truly inspired by him, but, you know, hey, if I'm looking like him, I'll take it. He was a hell of a football player.
Jack Stoll, best to you, man. Thanks for the time.
Hey, no problem. Thank you.
Now it's time to get back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
All right, that's it!
You two guys leave me no choice. No television for a week. What?!
I didn't come here to go 4-8, as I've said before. I came here to, you know, put a ring on my finger and win the Big Ten. So, you know, that's just something that, you know, personally, that's how I feel. That's the reason why I came to Nebraska, and I know that's how a lot of the other people feel, too.
That is Jack Stoll. Hail Varsity Radio Weekend continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Will Bauer. Big thanks to Jack Stoll, and giving us a few minutes on the mullet. He will not get his mullet a birthday gift.
There's a couple of mullet guys. You got Garrett Nelson now, has the mullet and the lines shaved to the side of their head.
We asked Stoll about the lines, if it was in reference to Boz.
Right.
Because we made the fabled thing. Mistake. I'm sure you had lines in your hair in the late 80s. I did.
I tried it a couple times.
Yeah. My father's birthday is today. I love you, Dad. And thank you for not whooping my ass for having lines in my hair.
Well, dude, those look so sweet.
Well, on Jack Stoll, they look good. Yeah. On a 112-pound fifth grader that looked like a Sharpay, it looked kind of funny.
Of course.
What's wrong with your kid?
I mean,
that's a common golf course question.
Yeah, the old
What's wrong
mullet.
With your kid?
I rocked one of those for a good few years. Those were a lot of fun. The mullet years.
Oh, my God.
Tell you what. Yeah.
Fan day.
Then you move on from mullets.
Yes, you do.
But it's always a part of you. It never quite goes away. You know what I mean?
No, I have burnt those pictures. I never had the mullet.
I never went rat tail.
See, Vogues, Vogues was with us Thursday. He went rat tail.
Oh, okay.
You have to, like, interrogate
him. Did he
get
curly on him?
I didn't.
Did he use a rubber band on it?
Ooh.
People did that.
The Tears for Fears look.
I would say the modern equivalent of the rat tail is probably the man bun, right? It's just moved up.
Well,
it's just moved up the head.
Well, and you have man buns, and you have some linemen who rock the long hair and do the man bun, and they're three bills, and they're built to hurt, so they can do whatever they want style-wise. But the beard look is very heavy as well.
Yeah. It all comes. There's only so many different configurations of your face and head that you can do. Mm-hmm. Like, so all the styles come back.
Every 25 years.
You know.
I'm waiting for Andre Agassi to reissue Hypercolor.
Oh, man. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Although all that does is reveal that you are a pitten SOB. The hypercolor. That's all it does. Be like, you are one sweaty mess because all the parts where you perspire are bright orange.
Uh-huh.
And the rest of your shirt is not.
It's
you
some sort
stinky,
of purple.
Dirty.
Some sort of purple mix.
Dehydrated,
but
nasty.
But we can relate this to college football because you've got your blue bloods.
Okay.
Where you can be good back in the late 80s where it was rat tails and lines in your hair.
Mm-hmm.
Nebraska was.
Yeah.
And now we're back to the mullet lines in your hair phase. Does Nebraska kind of get back to being thought of at a high level?
Oh,
obviously. I mean, who's...
With those hairstyles?
Who's around now that was around 25 years ago? I mean, Penn State's pretty decent.
Yeah.
Miami's not anywhere near. Bama's what they've usually been.
Mm-hmm.
But
Ohio State's
still there. Michigan's there.
Threat. Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Florida State, not really right now.
No.
But
they're not far off of a national championship.
Texas actually wasn't that good back then.
No.
People don't realize that. Texas is actually the least good blue blood. Right? Texas hasn't really won a whole lot. I mean, they've won a lot of individual games, but I'm just saying in terms of championships,
they've had more of their 9-3 underachievements than...
Yeah.
With all the talent they've had go through Austin, they should have more than one national championship.
SC's fallen off, right? They're not
quite... I mean, they're looking at another coaching change, potentially.
Mm-hmm. They're not
Florida
quite there.
Seems... I mean, Florida was a joke in the late 80s. I mean, they had Emmett Smith, but they weren't... It's pre-Spurrier.
Yeah, they weren't much.
A&M's kind of same 10 to 15th ranked.
Yeah, it feels they've always underachieved too.
Auburn.
Yeah.
Auburn's been good.
Yeah, Auburn is a they will rise and then they will fall dramatically.
Yeah.
Then they will rise, then they will fall dramatically. Rise, fall. You know, they kind of follow
they're,
that.
They're either like 7-5, 8-4, 13-0.
You're right.
Or 13-1.
Yeah, exactly.
LSU. I mean, where you know. Kind of that sleeping giant tag on them.
Yeah, they've been kind of, I would, if you look at their trend chart since the 80s, you would probably just see like a nice steady rise.
Mm-hmm.
You
sure.
know, ever since then.
We'll get caught up with Brandon Vogel and talk some Nebraska football camp 2019. May get into some mullet/rat tail debate. Not really, though. Gary Sharp, perhaps, in the second hour. You can join us, 466-377-6800-825-5865.
You notice all the teams we were talking about, they have classic helmets.
Mm-hmm.
There ain't nobody.
Penn State and Bama don't do the alternate deal.
Nobody has like the cartoon character, you know, logos either. Like the Jayhawk, you know, where
sure.
it takes over half the helmet.
Right.
And you're just like, right? Or the Cyclones with their bugle snack looking tornado thing. Like that, blue bloods don't do that. They just don't.
Nebraska's gotten into the uniform thing, as has Miami.
It's okay to do that for a game or two.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty much that's how you know if it's a blue blood or not. If there's some funky stuff going on their helmet all year, they've never won.
If you have
anything.
Wardrobe options.
They've never won anything.
Mark Kranak, Chris Schmidt, Will Bauer, thanks for spending hour one with us. Hour two returns with Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28 and now...
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Welcome in, Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio Weekend, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Mark Kranak, Will Bauer, manning the controls. Give us a find on Twitter, Chris Schmidt, @Schmidt_radio, @MarkSkurs, @Willie_Bauer. Always follow Hail Varsity for all your Husker needs when it comes to fall camp and beyond. Author of Dream Like a Champion and phenomenal with hot reads and all he does with HailVarsity.com and magazine. We welcome in Brandon L. Vogel is where you follow Vogues on Twitter.
You forgot to mention former owner of a rat tail. as we were talking about hair.
I was lazy this morning, and with all the audio clips that Willie and I put together, I did not grab the snippet of the admission of said rat tail from Thursday. Mm. Vogues, are you going to hang up on us this early? How are you?
I'm doing well. It's kind of hit or miss right now. The game's in the balance, so we'll see where we go from here.
Did you rubber band the thing?
Oh, no.
The rat tail? Or did you always just let it free flow?
No, I was in first grade when this happened. In fact, I think I had it for first grade pictures.
God.
So there were limits to what my mom would let me get away with, and having one at all was about as far as we were going to go. Although I guess maybe rubber banding gets better because otherwise it looks like somebody just messed up your hair. But we left it. It was free range rat tail.
You went mullet at some point in your life, right?
Not intentionally. I'm guessing somewhere in there probably happened inadvertently. Because that's just kind of what you did in the 80s. You kept the back long and kept the sides and top short. But I definitely didn't put the effort into it that it seems like Jack Stoll has. So, I mean, that thing is maintained. So that's not just it's easy. You let the back grow and you keep everything else pretty short. Like he's sculpted that.
Yeah, there's like a method to the madness there. How about Brandon, press conference this week, we're practice number two. Are we reading too much into the fact that it really seems like players and coaches are all saying the same thing, or is that significant in your eyes?
Oh, I think it is. It's sort of the classic example, the standard by which all others are judged for me with that is Nebraska volleyball. They are really, really that way. So I think it can be productive. It can be a good sign. Now, sort of the nature of fall camp is to read too much into everything because you get things doled out in dribs and drabs. But that's okay. I do kind of look at that as one of those signifiers of, okay, well, it seems like whatever this culture is has at least taken hold. And then it becomes, again, about how good that culture actually is. And I don't really have a ton of concerns on that front with Nebraska either. So I do think this is one that's a pretty realistic sign of progress.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HaleVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, I know Coach Held kind of did his position breakdown with the network, and versatility was the theme, and position groups, why you feel good about the D-line, you're not great with the depth at linebacker, you feel good about what is established in the secondary on the offensive side, we know about the O-line, question marks at left guard and center, and the wide receiver room, but where are you at with running backs via committee, or maybe you find kind of a 1-2 punch like you had last year with Ziggy and Mo? Do you feel like the freshmen can contribute when called upon? And I know there's some injury situations with Tompkins, or at least he's trying to get back to full strength. You have Ramir, that speed demon, tough back out of Jersey. You have Diedrich, the transfer, that it sounds like he's done all the right things in the offseason weight room wise. Do you like the options that Nebraska has that can carry the football and catch the football?
Yeah, I like the options. It still doesn't, like a lot of people, I don't think you look at that group and feel totally confident. So, I mean, if you look at it now, based on the information we have at this point, like Dedrick Mills has to be good. And he has to stay healthy. Like, for as heavy a load as I think he's going to have to carry, those are just kind of the health part of it, especially, is a little bit non-negotiable, and you don't have control over that. I think Ramir Johnson is probably going to be a bigger contributor than you'd forecast at this point. Like, I think he's one of those, Frost talked about it at Big Ten Media Days. He's talked about it before. It's not so much about talent with true freshmen playing right away. It's about maturity. And Ramir Johnson strikes me as one of those guys. Overall, I kind of look at, Nebraska's running back situation and think outside of that, they're going to have to get pretty creative. And I think they will with guys like Wandale Robinson, potentially Miles Jones. They're just going to have to get by for a little bit. And then I think once you get 3, 4, 5 games in, you'll have a better picture of, okay, what kind of workload is Mills ready to handle? How far along is Ramir Johnson? And we just don't have answers to those questions yet.
Vogues, what do you think the bread and butter is going to be for this offense? I mean, what's going to be growing up? We knew 3rd and 3 meant short side option. Okay. And the defense knew it was happening too. And guess what? You didn't stop it a lot. What's the go-to? Is it going to be the play action pop pass to the seam to a guy like Stoll? Is it going to be a bubble to JD? Is it going to be a zone read? I mean, what is Nebraska's signature play going to be? What do you think that looks like?
Basically run all three of those at one time. That's so much of football has become that. And I think particularly early on, who knows how much they want to run Adrian Martinez, but he's a running threat and you've got to use that. And one of the things about these sort of spread RPO type offenses is when you get that guy behind center, you can then like fold that threat in to basically every play you run. And it becomes pretty tough to defend. We saw Nebraska do a lot of that. It'd be interesting to know kind of what some of their signature runs could be. I think it might be a little bit different than last year with just the ability to expand the playbook and, have a wider menu of options, I guess. But a lot of it comes down to tempo, and they're running pretty simple inside outside zones. And while that's not something you can look at in the playbook and be like, man, that's a great play, it's more about the execution up front. And Nebraska's running game was really strong last year. Mm-hmm. So if they can, they've got to be, I think to hit what they want to hit this year, they've got to find a way to maintain that or at least make any drop off pretty small. And if they can do that, I think the rest, they'll be okay.
Brandon Vogel is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Just when you thought Scott Frost couldn't appease and appeal to 90s era fans anymore, he goes and says that they're going to go a lot more live one-on-one in practice during the week. The significance of that in your mind?
I think pretty significant. If Frost tells everyone that, he felt it to be significant in UCF's second year, that's good enough for me. It becomes those practices have become so mythologized over the years that it's hard to sort of separate true fact from fiction there. But yeah. Hey, Nebraska was really good over that stretch, and that's how they did it. So Frost was a part of that, and he's trying to get back to a little bit of that now. I thought it was interesting that UCF wasn't ready to go with that right away in year one. And, Frost mentioned it was primarily a depth issue. Neither was Nebraska. I think there's also sort of a physical demands part of it too. And we know that Nebraska wasn't quite up to speed to do everything this staff wanted to do last year. Now they're closer. I'm kind of interested to see what that actually looks like, when we get to start seeing these guys on the practice field. And then, of course, on Saturdays, are you going to be able to notice that sort of physicality difference? Because everyone notices it when the guys are just walking around in a t-shirt and shorts. But what's it look like actually on the field of play? That's one of the things I'm more excited to see. And if, going live for more practices adds a little bit to that, all the better.
Well, and just quick follow on that. Those even later 90s era Husker teams under Solich, they may have fumbled a few times. They may have had
like
spotty.
50?
Right. They may have had spotty play or thrown picks or whatever, but there was not a single dude on that roster that bailed on a collision. You could at least say that, right? And isn't that sort of what it looks like, where it's like they are very comfortable with the violence of the sport, essentially?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good way to put it. And that's kind of always been the Big Ten's reputation. It's a bruiser league. It's a rough and tumble league. And Nebraska, I don't know if Nebraska has ever totally matched that on a consistent basis since joining the league in 2011. You know, there were certain instances, there were certain games where, you know, you felt like Nebraska was kind of the more physical of the two. But on the whole, I think, at least I kind of look back at Nebraska's past 7, 8, 9 seasons and think, yeah, that they were not the most physical team on the field in most of those Big Ten games.
Is that a product of the practice philosophy, or is that a product, we're going way back here, of just body types and style you came from in the Big 12?
I would say a little of both of those, and throw in some strength and conditioning, you know, depending on how confident players feel and well, how they feel, I guess is the best way to put it. I think add something to it too. I mean, I do think there was, you know, the Big 12 to Big 10 transition. Yeah, it's still football, but you know, the difference there kind of grows in my mind the farther we get away from it. You know, that was a pretty significant change to go from what Nebraska was facing, particularly like the Nebraska's last couple of years in the Big 12, where things were really, really wide open at that point, and you needed some kind of defenders you could play in space. And, you know, you think about sort of the 2009-2010 teams with the hybrid defenders that they had, you know, I feel like that was largely a reaction to the Big 12. You lost some of those guys, you know, right as you went into the Big Ten, and then it was just a different style of football. So I think, you know, better strength and conditioning, some more physical practices can help with that. And then also just the history in the Big Ten should make it pretty apparent of where Nebraska needs to get to.
You know, I think Nebraska's had guys that understood that they needed to do some work in the offseason. A guy you're close with, and I remember your feature in the Hale Varsity yearbook, where you went down and you spent time with Amir Abdullah, right? As Amir was going into his senior season. And I mean, I remember your story on a Friday night. You're hanging out with Amir, and Amir and his older brother are crushing weights on a Friday night when it's not time to do football, or there's some downtime during the summer. And Amir's on a Friday night, you know, saying, I see your 375 Vogues you're benching. Let me do 4. I'm kidding. I don't know what you benched, but you had a guy like him, and or a guy like Malik Collins, who wrestling background, right? That just liked going one on one and mauling people, right? I mean, those are two guys that put the work in. I'm not saying guys didn't put the work in, but just the expectation of the amount of work you had to put in. It seems very clear now, and I think that's something you can be excited about with Duvall. And this strength and conditioning. I mean, it's going to be, and it has been, I mean, it's set for success in this Big Ten climate.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, so those two examples you mentioned were also, so two very hard workers, mm-hmm. also two of Nebraska's sort of more naturally talented players right. from that era. And I think, you know, what you're hoping to get to is where the 84th man on your roster sort of feels that he can go into a Big Ten game and like, I'm stronger than all of these dudes. Like, and I know it. So when you get that confidence level, not just from your kind of top line guys, but most of the people you're going to take with you on a Big Ten road trip, I think that's kind of what you're hoping to get to. And that's one where if those guys, you know, for them, if they're not playing a ton, you know, if they're trying to work their way up the depth chart, those practices probably become even more valuable for people in that scenario.
Brandon Vogel with us on Hale Varsity Radio. Jakeem Green, junior college defensive tackle, decides to keep with his commitment for Nebraska. What do you think that means overall for Nebraska? How big was that?
He certainly is there talent-wise. You know, he kind of adds that pure pass rusher ability, I think. You know, you look at sort of some of the schools that were after him, look at a little bit of his junior college film, and you're like, okay, yeah, I can see how that fits in, even on a, you know, pretty deep defensive line. Reminds me a little bit of, you know, kind of what Randy Gregory was able to come in and do in short time. I'm not saying he'll be that guy, but that's kind of the role you're bringing him in for. That said, I'm kind of very much with – that was one of the stranger – kind of recruitments that I've seen, even from the JUCO ranks. So I'm kind of in a wait and see, like, okay, first step is, so he said he's reconfirmed his commitment to Nebraska. Now let's see if he can get on campus, and then let's see what happens after that. But talent-wise, you know, defensive line wasn't one where I'd say, okay, Nebraska, if they could just add somebody late, that'd be the spot to do it. But he's the kind of guy who has such a specific skill set that I think he does raise Nebraska's ceiling a little bit if he's able to go right away.
Think about him and Darian Daniels together. I mean,
it's some beef,
right?
Nebraska's got some Big Ten size along that defensive line. It's kind of crazy that it's happened this fast.
You've got top flight talent potentially. Yeah. With Green, and I know he's been busting his butt at school.
He goes 6'5", 315.
And he can stop the run and get after the quarterback like you touched on. But I'm just wondering what can he do from a hit the ground running standpoint after this.
That's been hit and miss with JUCO.
It is, especially when we're talking timing, where you're getting here right as camp gets going or shortly after camp gets going.
But at the same time, of all positions, right, defensive line is that I don't want to undersell how much they have to know, right? But it kind of feels like that's one where talent can really win out because it's complex.
But conditioning, though, Vogues, that's my concern. I mean, is a guy going to be, you know, the other example is look at Maurice Washington a year ago. The guy showed up a day or two after.
No worries.
And the guy was money.
Yeah, no worries at all.
And now we're talking about a dude that's 3 bills and 6'4", and guys that size, conditioning work sucks. It does. You got to be really dedicated to be able to stay on the field for the snaps you need.
Yeah, and I think that's particularly valid in this case. He been committed to Nebraska for a couple of months. And normally in that scenario, you know, they get you the workouts. They're like, here's what you need to be ready coming in. I don't know if he fully knew he was going to stay with Nebraska, you know, up until recently. Who knows? So there's that part of it as well. So even if Nebraska was able to say, okay, here's what you need, then he spent 2 more months kind of thinking about, well, is this the right spot for me? You know, went and checked out a couple other places. Who knows? You know, it's kind of up to him at that point and where he's at conditioning wise. But I think Mark's right. You know, and there's not a ton of spots where you can just say, okay, well, you're good enough. Like, we're going to work through some of the learning curve here with you, and you'll eat a little of it up on your own just based on your physical ability. But I think that's always a little bit easier on defense where it's kind of reactive. And I would say defensive line in a specialized role is one where you could make that work.
You know, and you look at Nebraska's production on the defensive line last year, there wasn't a ton. You can't say it wasn't a bad defensive line, but it wasn't a good one. It was just kind of a defensive line. And the things that they struggled at the most were, you know, disruptive plays in the backfield on the quarterback or the tailback. And then just flat out stopping the downhill running attack. You bring all those guys back, pretty much, except for Freedom, except for Mick, but he was injured most of the year anyways. Bring all those guys back, another year of strength and conditioning, another year of putting on mass. But now you sprinkle in Darian Daniels, that directly goes to the problems that you had with stopping the run. And then now Jakeem Green, potentially that pass, like, they really shored that thing up, didn't they? I really think they addressed exactly what they needed to address with just those two transfers.
Yeah, I would agree. Of those two, sort of Darian Daniels kind of still looms the largest for me. Not that we need to compare one against the other, but, you know, I think that's – Muhammad Berry kind of talked about it at Big Ten Media Days about the need to be able to eat up blocks and kind of keep the linebackers clean. And he's not saying that because he happens to be a linebacker. Like, I don't want to mess with that stuff, but I mean, it's important. And I think that's one way that Nebraska gets a little bit better against the run is they can be stronger on the defensive line, even if it, you know, and I think it will result in some more plays in the backfield. But even if that total doesn't go up drastically, like if Nebraska is bringing that rushing total down in terms of yards per carry, you probably got a good sense that the line's doing a pretty good job. They'll be fresher. You know, they can go, they can rotate here pretty quick with almost hockey line changes if they wanted to do it. And that's pretty valuable. And, you know, I looking back at something I wrote this week about the sacks thing, Jakeem Green is a nice addition. Probably overlooking Ben Stilley a little bit. You know, he's only played 21 games, had 8.5 sacks. Was only a half sack behind Gifford. I'd kind of forgotten about that myself last, you know, until
he had
I went
8.5
back
last year.
Numbers.
No, he had
no,
five
over
I think,
21.
Right?
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, he had five, but he led Nebraska with 3.5 in 9 games in 2017.
Right.
But if you get three sacks under Diaco, that's like 37 for everybody else, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. You have to have a 1.5 times multiplier on that because it meant you broke the rules and just made an individual play.
You'll be standing next to me in the sweater vest. Vogues, what's coming up with Hail Varsity, bud?
Yeah, a lot of practice updates in the near future. So I'm excited to kind of get into that. And, you know, spirits are high for Nebraska, which is good. I think it'll make for a good fall camp. There's still sort of a lot of the detail work. You know, the position battles, who are some new names that are emerging, and I like all that stuff. So we'll have all of that on the website. Getting our August volleyball issue ready to go, which I'm excited about. Shot the cover this week, so that'll be coming in a couple of weeks. Kind of back in it, which is good. We made it through the off season. Now we're in the season, and that's pretty fun.
Vogues, you're awesome. Fun to chat this morning. Thanks for a few minutes with us, bud.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
There he is, Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and magazine, Dream Like a Champion. His book with Coach John Cook. Pick that up if you haven't. Get a Husker yearbook, of course, with Hail Varsity. And do so 855-3-Husker or HailVarsity.com/subscribe. Get that hookup going with the yearbook and the subscription. You'll love it. The digital content, HailVarsity.com, is incredible. Greg Smith with the premium content and all the recruiting you need. Derek Peterson, of course, Mike Babcock. Jacob Padilla, Aaron Sorensen. What a staff, man. What a crew to cover your Nebraska football team and beyond. So it's pretty glorious. You are looking perplexed. What's on your screen there?
I don't know. I'm hearing.
Are you watching highlights of?
Is it Ben Sasse going to be the next UNL Prez?
I don't know.
Is that happening?
No, he's still busy.
I know, but there's rumors
competition now.
Floating about.
Yeah. Well,
that's what I'm perplexed about for no apparent reason.
We'll talk about that on
Saturday morning.
We'll talk about that on KFOR Monday.
Is the Iron Horse? Yeah, I guess that's probably the more appropriate forum.
Yeah.
Than the Hail Varsity Radio Show on Saturday morning on day two of practice.
It's okay.
Yeah. No, that's right. I need to check myself on that. Is the Iron Horse going
to
be with us?
We're going to reach out to him if we wake him up West Coast time. He may scream.
What's he doing out there?
I think he's visiting family and friends.
A little vacation out there?
Yeah. So he's up early.
Do you know where? West Coast is a big place.
No. I think he's...
There's a big difference between Santa Barbara
I think
and
he's
Seattle.
Kicking it, I think he's kicking it with LeBron.
Oh. He's up in L.A. Okay.
Sure.
Okay. Is he at LeBron's kids' basketball game cheering vociferously?
I don't know that he's going to run onto the court like Dad did.
And should he be criticized for that if he does?
You know, I went this season went on to the baseball diamond.
Did you?
But I was.
Did you charge the mound?
No, I did not charge.
Junior
the mound.
Got hit in the hip, and you just charged
no,
the mound.
It was the other way around. Junior was giving up. You know, he was throwing batting practice, and no one made the move to the bullpen. I told him to get his ass to the bench. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
And by the way, you're no son of mine.
Oh, I love you, but mix in a weight set or something.
God, find your location.
Get that Schmidt velocity. It's wonderful. Yeah. We'll step
How about
aside.
At a second pitch, Junior. Who cares about that elbow? I want to see that deuce really. I want to see that thing bend.
Take these. The guy named McGuire and Canseco waiting for you in the stall. It'll only hurt for a minute.
Throw a curveball. Mm-hmm. The hell with your elbow.
I know. We got ice, and there are surgeons. Here is Gary Sharp. We'll try and run the Iron Horse down next. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Early to rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranick.
Back with you. It's weekend edition. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. 28 days. Till it's Nebraska kickoff, day two of practice. We welcome in the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp. Sharpie, I didn't know if I should call or not, but I'm going to blame Will if we woke you up. Thanks for jumping on. How are you?
Good. Man, 4 weeks. Where did the summer go?
It flew, man. It absolutely flew. It was good to see you at the presser on Thursday. And let's jump into that real quick before we kind of get your take on some storylines and outlook now that camp has actually happened. But I was happy to hear, if you're a Nebraska fan, about the toughness element and the toughness emphasis by Coach Frost. And if we're kind of plotting along a line here, right, in this journey, where do you think Nebraska's at as a team with toughness? I mean, it was a challenge, not a call out, but a challenge by Frost that he wants to see these guys. You hear prove it, you hear day by day, but he's like, you know, can you be tough every Saturday? What was your kind of response to Frost's message there?
Well, I think they have real tough guys, you know, not fake tough guys. And I think it's, you know, people can be tough and you can be coached into being toughness, but there's something in your DNA when you show up. I think along with that, guys look different. You know, the biggest salesperson in your entire football program is your strength coach, because he has to sell strength to you, that you have to buy into it. And if you buy into it, you can see a result if you just trust them with the sale. And Zach Duvall's staff, what they've now been able to do through two full cycles of winter conditioning, summer conditioning, I think guys are a lot more confident. They like how they look now. And I like how Frost has said this from the start of this whole campaign of year two, is that all of that stuff is great, that we look good in the weight room and we're pounding iron and guys are buying in, but it doesn't matter until you get on the field. But I think they're further along in the off-the-field culture, strength and conditioning part than I think they thought they would be at this point. But guys are confident. They look good. They feel good. You know, they're going to practice good. I think guys were excited to be back to get into this because there hasn't been these kind of expectations around Nebraska football for a long time. I mean, I think you have to go back at least a decade and even further to find the kind of expectations there are. And also keep in mind, 8-16 the last 2 years, 4-8. I can't recall a program that has gotten this much attention that had a 4-8 season, regardless of how it ended.
Gary Sharp with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Man, Gary, it's funny you bring up expectations for Nebraska. They are so real right now. Can you keep us honest? What are we missing? What's the word of caution? Do you know what I'm saying? Because I just look position, maybe what, like depth at linebacker, I guess, is maybe a concern. There's just not many right now. And I feel like in the Riley era, you could go into each year being like, okay, well, this is a concern. This is a concern. What about this? What about that? Like, you could just rattle off all kinds of issues. Same with the Pelini era. It's hard to do that right now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think also, Mark, we trust the guys that are in charge, because you could go through almost every position group outside of defensive line and quarterback, and there's a lot of unknowns. You know, we expect a Georgia Tech junior college running back to come in and run for 1,000. I mean, a couple years ago, we were like, no, that's not going to happen. But we trust their position coaches. We trust the guy that's in charge. Hmm. And most importantly, when you look throughout the roster, what puts you at ease, even though you have some issues, and I think one of my biggest questions is, do they have enough bodies to fix what has ailed them defensively? Is you have a quarterback who I think makes you feel a lot more comfortable about the whole dang 2019 season, because in Adrian Martinez you trust, and then, oh, by the way, there's Scott Frost. I want to see when they face adversity for the first time, that first road game when you fall behind 7-0 in Boulder or something like that. I think they're moving forward, but that's why I've been hesitant to go, man, we're all going to be in Indianapolis in December. because there's things I still have to see for my own eyes. Like, I'm not all of a sudden Alex Davis is the second coming. Right. It's intriguing to hear that Alex Davis has a lot more confidence, and you can see in his body, he looks like they built him into an outside linebacker. And the way he carries himself, wow, if he can bring that over to the field, that's great. But what I've seen on the field hasn't been there. But if guys can make jumps like Davis and Colin Miller and Ben Stilley and Lamar Jackson, I mean, there's things to grasp onto and say, man, this could really, really be happening. But I truly believe that they're in a good place. They're laying the groundwork for a successful season that bounces them to get better, not only day by day, but to get better year by year that goes into next year. But it's hard not to be excited when you look at what's in the program and what could happen. But also, 69% of the roster is underclassmen. So keep that in mind as you start to dial in and figure out what Nebraska is going to do this year.
Gary Sharp's with us, Hail Varsity Radio Weekend Edition. Sharpie, good point on the adversity subject. And how do you think Frost will deal with that? I mean, and they went through hell the first six games last year. The cherry on top with how Northwestern ended, but they got better from it and they grew from it. Now, this is a different year. Are they able to take the lessons learned last year and apply it? Or because it's a new year, it's a new team, you got a lot of returning parts to it. Are they going to be a work in progress with that adversity, that ability to handle the adversity?
No, that's a good question, and I think why this staff is better prepared for what happened last year to this year is they recognize their mistakes and they talked openly about them. I think if you press that entire coaching staff, and some of the coaches have even alluded to this, they were not properly prepared with what they had at their disposal to coach in the Big Ten last year. I think some of the stuff that they saw and then looking at what they had to counteract, like in Michigan, it just wasn't there. And so they learned their lesson. But the one thing that I boded well for last year to lay the groundwork for this year when it comes to that part of the question, Schmitty, is they didn't panic. They were the same guys throughout the year. Because after Northwestern, it would have been easy to panic and throw stuff in the locker room. And they didn't change their mindset from week to week. And I think that really benefited the team that if you had been in this program for a while, you've run the EKG of emotions from your head coach or your position coach, where these guys kind of stayed all the same. And I think in the end, to come out the back end of 2018, it benefited this team. But I think another part of the whole equation of how this team's going to do this year is I think the coaching staff is smarter on what they can do against the opposition of the Big Ten and also how you win your division, what kind of football, what kind of players you have to win the division, especially when you're looking at schedules in the future that give your toughest in-division games are late in November when everybody is wearing down.
Yeah.
And that's when you've always talked about we want to be playing our best football.
Gary Sharp is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Going to put you on the spot a little. Can you think of a Nebraska freshman that is as much of a foregone conclusion as, hell yeah, the guy's going to start and he's going to get a billion yards? Is there a comparison to Wandale? Like, that's he's not written it in pencil. It's pen. It's permanent marker. The guy hasn't played it down. He's a freshman.
I mean, you got a tattoo of him on fan day, Kranak. I mean, come on.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just foregone. The way the coach is talking about, oh yeah, Wandale, he's gonna be all over the field. He's gonna get a billionaire. Yeah, he hasn't played. Can you think of another freshman that's had that sort of immediate blessing from the coaches, like in Nebraska's history? And I'm being serious.
Wow. The only guy that would come to mind, and it wasn't like it was his backfield, was like an Amon Green.
Oh, yeah.
We're going 20 years, but yeah,
that worked out well.
Yeah, but he wasn't expected to come. You know, he had a couple of guys in front of him. It's okay, everybody, to drink the Wandale Robinson Kool-Aid. I've seen it with my own eyes. He's the real deal. I mean, he was a coup for Nebraska to get, and he is everything that is advertised. And even if you've been hesitant to buy into hype of players that are 17 or 18 years old that have not played it down in college football, it's okay to buy into this hype because he is a difference maker and is such an ideal fit for this offense and a guy that likes to use, you know, basically as a chess piece, put him all over the field. It's okay. He's a difference maker. He's a guy that will light up the scoreboard. He will light up the fans. And if you've seen him, pictures of him, he is in incredible shape. The kid lives in the weight room before he ever got to Lincoln. He has benefited from 8 months of strength and conditioning. You know, you hope that he doesn't have, like, any hamstring issues during August, but he's full go. I mean, you're right, Mark. That is in Sharpie that he walked in and they said, Wandale Robinson, you're going to be an integral part of our offense. Just go ahead and stay on the field. The question I have about him also is, will they utilize him in special teams? Because I think that's an area that we kind of sometimes overlook. But I think when Nebraska's added depth will be better this year across the board, and it has to be better, especially if you look at starting field position last year of Nebraska and then their opponent, their starting field position, I think the 31-yard line, which was one of the worst in college football.
Yeah, and give Spielman a break, right? Like, don't wear him out on some of those return options. Well, if you got other options.
Yeah, and I think you're also you would love to get a full 12-game season out of JD. And if you can just keep him to offense and doing what he does, because he's gonna let his body get beat up because of the way he plays. I think if you can give him a break from there and you can find other options to extenuate your return game, I think that's ideal.
The other interesting thing, not to crown his ass about Wandale, you haven't heard any pushback from the players either. Yeah, I think back to, like, D'Angelo Evans, he joins. There were some murmurs from some of the players, like, those kids got to earn it, you know, and kind of put that freshman in his place, I think. Same with Amon. But with Wandale, again, the players are like, oh, yeah, Wandale, yeah, give him the ball. They're totally okay with it.
And you know why? Because he worked in, and he wasn't a prima donna type guy. He immediately started to fit in with the other freshmen that were early enrollees. And then he started to listen to guys in his wide receiver room, and he quickly was able to adapt, and he got after it in the weight room. I mean, he wasn't high maintenance or anything like that. And I think that, you know, the older guys were like, okay, this guy's a good dude. But most importantly, I think we're at a stretch where it's not the seniors are looking down on the freshmen. I think the seniors are looking at these freshmen, and they trust the coaching staff to bring in top-notch talent, that they're going to say, I don't care if he's a freshman. He's a football player for Nebraska. He's one of us, and he's going to help us win. I think we've seen that more we've seen a lot more younger guys that are not afraid to show a little leadership, and especially a quarterback. I'll give you a prime example of Adrian Martinez. We've all talked about his leadership, and we've heard stories like we did from Mo Berry or Khalil Davis in Chicago. I think Adrian's more comfortable being a leader, that he can say stuff to defensive guys. Hey, this is what I noticed when we're playing 7-on-7. You know, you were a little off on your technique. I could pick it up. You were kind of tipping what you were going to do. He can say that to defensive guys, and they're like, hey, thank you. We'll work on it. I mean, that's a big step in this program.
Gary Sharps with the Sail Varsity Radio. Sharpie, we'll get you out of here on this. When you look at Nebraska's offense, we've touched on the storyline of, you know, who's going to carry the ball, and you look at the A-gap on that offensive line, center and left guard. But ultimately, when push comes to shove, we asked Vogues this too, what's Nebraska, I know the Frost offense, and I know the trigger guy is going to be Adrian, and he's really, really talented, but what's Nebraska's go-to going to be? I mean, it doesn't even have to be a play, but just philosophy. How are they going to get down the field?
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of pitch and catch, and that'll be the most important thing between Adrian and his wide receivers is, you know, right now I don't see somebody that's a burner that's going to, you know, go on a fly pattern 40 yards down the field and you're going to hit him in stride. But I think you'll see a lot of pitch and catch. So it's important for wide receivers to catch the ball in tight quarters and be able to catch and turn right away. I think that'll be the focal point of this offense before they find that deep threat. But at the end of the day, it's still going to include some power running game. And you've got Mills who can be that guy to be a power back. The one thing I'll look for in camp and early on in the year is we loved what Divine Azigbo did last year, and he was such a boon for that offense. Is he also caught the ball out of the backfield? And, you know, Mills really has never been asked to catch the ball out of the backfield, so will he be able to also pick up what Azigbo did out of the backfield? But I think a lot of pitch and catch and guys that get in space and try and use chess pieces for Frost. Martinez and his wide receivers, It's an easy, you know, 8-10 yard throw, even less maybe, but you catch it and you run, and I think that's where Nebraska will make a lot of their hay this year.
Sharpie, awesome to get caught up with you. Enjoy a little downtime. Thanks for a few minutes today, man.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Gary.
But there he is, Gary Sharp, the Iron Horse on Hail Varsity Radio. Quick timeout. We'll wind down to Saturday next.
Now it's time to get back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
All right, that's it!
You two guys leave me no choice. No television for a week. What?
What final time weekend edition, Hail Varsity Radio?
Guess what's happening right now.
Tell me.
They're practicing.
Yes.
They started at 8:35 a.m., practice number two. Why 8:35 a.m.? Do you think there's something behind that? Like, with 8:35 left on the clock, they got the ball run out on them or something, so, like...
I don't know.
One more, you know. You think there's significance there? To eight? Why 8:35? You can't just go 8:30? No, it's not going to work. 8:35.
I think the soonest tee time available, maybe noon, so...
Oh, maybe... Well... Maybe it's a 6 a.m. tee time. Be like, okay, I just need those extra 5 minutes to
get here.
Yeah.
I'm 8:30.
Practice number two. No media access today. Nope. No media access tomorrow.
So are you going to pose as a guy who brings in the Gatorade and pickles?
I think you just have to get one of those yellow jackets, right? Isn't that what the, right? Like kind of
security?
The volunteer help? Yellow jacket, red in on it. Walk around like you own the place. You're fine. You'd probably get into practice
that
way.
But they may notice you in your Atlanta gear.
Well, I'll take that off, you know. So Monday, defensive coaches and players are available.
Yep.
Wednesday, offensive coaches and players. Okay. So prepare on Monday and Tuesday to hear all about black shirt improvement and how it's a different culture and mindset, and it's going to sound awesome. And then we'll get all sick of this crap in late August. And then it'll start on August 31st, man. But it is on. It started.
Will Bauer, thank you, sir. Kranak, you're awesome.
Chris Schmidt will
be back at you Monday at 4 with Hail Varsity Radio. Thanks to Gary Sharp, Brandon Vogel, Jack Stoll, and his mullet. Talk to you on Monday. Have a great weekend.